Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
Okay. You gotta get them all up in the Lord's army.
Yeah. I don't. You okay. So, disclaimer, I don't actually think that's how that works. And I'm being super insensitive, but I don't give a fuck.
I was going to say, you went to, you were Catholic, right? So
yeah, I was Catholic.
You didn't have all the fucking, did you guys have the cringy Bible songs?
We had like the Psalms and the stuff from the books.
That's what I'm saying. You guys didn't do like the, okay,
the Christian rock.
Somewhat, but there's also like, there was like a lot of the fucking annoying ass camp songs, like the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, that's the book for me.
God,
yeah,
no.
And there's the...
Listen, yeah, we preach unto others unless you're singing stupid shit.
Oh, it's terrible. They were awful.
Man.
I went to church camp. I've maybe told the story before, but then I went there and like the music director one year, just like he made popular songs and just like parried them into Christian songs. Like it was directly exactly like what Cartman does in that one episode of South Park where he forms the Christian rock band because he wants to win a Grammy, but I think they win like a frankincense or something instead. But it was seriously like that. He just took popular songs and like instead of singing about your baby, it was singing about Jesus or God. Like the only one I remember is the when I wake up in the morning and I step outside.
I wake up
in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath. You know that
and
song?
And I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs.
So the Christian camp version of it was, you couldn't say, and I get real high. It was, I take a step out and I look on high because you got to look at the Lord, right?
And then, no, I hate this already.
Oh, it's terrible. And then you scream at the top of your lungs, my gift is God.
That doesn't even go with the, that doesn't flow.
That's terrible,
okay.
Dude.
Okay, dude, I was at this wrestling show last night, okay?
Yeah.
And you know how the joke's always like, oh, you white people don't have any rhythm, you know?
It's true, though. None of them do.
So, yeah, every wrestling show I'm at, you know, it's, everybody likes chanting and like, let's go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But okay, of course, we're a bunch of fucking morons that are at a wrestling show because we're big ass dorks. And everybody in this arena is chanting, but everybody's off by a couple of beats. So it just sounds like the stupidest shit in the world. And I am not surprised at all that this translates so well to Bible camp not knowing how to rhyme shit. My God.
Just being just cringe in general. Like, it was terrible.
I couldn't. I couldn't.
That thing you talk about people being off time though, that makes me think. I think it's either Harry Connick Jr., I'm pretty sure it's him, but it could also be Michael Bublé. But either way, one of them is like playing the piano and like singing a song. And the audience is like trying to clap on the beat, but they get on the offbeat. But this, he's so talented, he like drops an extra note in and just like catches them to where he doesn't, the audience doesn't even know that he's fixed it and put them on the correct beat. They're just clapping the same way.
Yeah.
The way it's so fucking smooth and beautiful.
You know what? Good for him. What a good guy. If I was the musician, I would have just like slowed down a little bit and like, you know, okay, you ever be driving on the highway and you go to pass a slow guy on the right hand lane and they start to speed up so that you can't pass?
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes I'm that guy in the right lane that speeds up so they can't pass. Only because the person, you know, if the person behind me is being a dick and doing 90 miles an hour on my asshole, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm not letting you by, right? That would be my, if I was a singer, I would do the same thing to these guys. I would, like, start slowing down a little bit. I'd make them sound terrible. I'd make fun of them. I'd, like, change the lyrics to my song.
That's what I would do. I did that all the time when I was in a few of my bands because, again, ADHD, I enjoy being center of attention. That's why I play the loudest fucking instrument. Most of the bands, they would let me do the banter in between songs too. So I had a mic just to talk to the audience.
That sounds like
much like I do on the show. I would berate the audience as they listen to us because I thought it was always funny. What are you gonna do?
That's hilarious. Knowing what they know now. Knowing what I know now. That sounds like a terrible idea.
No, everybody generally was pretty funny. I was at least charming when I was younger. Now I just come off as like a bitter old dick. You can't do it as much. Who? The fucking Roastmaster dude on Comedy Central. Jeff Ross? Is that his name?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? The flamboyantly dressed dude all the time.
When he does like the roast, yeah. And he's bald now. Yeah. But anyways, he it was funny when he was younger, but now that he's still doing it, it's like,
yeah.
He's not as charming as Don Rickles either. Don Rickles was the master.
As you age a bit, I've noticed that in the last 10 years, I've lost a lot of my charm when it comes to talking to people that I don't give a single fuck about.
Yeah, part of it is just internal, because I'm in the same boat. Like, I just, like, I'm nice, but I'm curt.
Yeah. Like, I don't want you randomly talking to me when I see you out and about.
Oh.
Like, let me give you, like, the tone, like, tone-wise, the equivalent of resting bitch face. Like, if I'm talking to you, let me just...
I cannot make it more obvious that I do not want to be here right now.
Yeah.
Take my hint, you stupid bastards. So, they never do.
I guess that's not me all the time, but I definitely notice it a lot more.
Sean, did you watch any of the show, The Blank That Made Us?
The Blank That Made Us. Was there more than just the movies that made us?
Yeah, because I was... the one I watched was The Toys That Made Us, which was a lot of, like, the 80s and 90s-esque toys. No, like, G.I. Joe was one episode. He-Man Toys was one episode.
Yo, did they have Kinex? Because that was my shit.
I don't think there was a Kinex. There might have been a Lego episode.
What about, like, Constructor Set? Like, give me the good stuff. That stuff was so much cooler than Legos. Lego folk. They're a fucking cult, man.
The episodes were mostly just action figure-esque, because I think there was a Barbie ep of two. And I think they did the Star Wars toys.
Okay. Dude, I'm coming out, like, aggressive today. Like, I'm trying to fight Lego fans. I'm going to beat up off-rhythm white people.
I mean, I'm down with one of those. I like the... I like the Lego stuff, though.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that Lego reality show. But
I have watched a couple of episodes of it. There's actually someone, you know where I'm from. There is someone who just opened up a Lego shop. It's called Bottomless Bricks. I guess I just doxed myself. But Bottomless Bricks. And she was on Lego Masters.
Oh, I remember there were people from Pittsfield. And I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah. That's her. I met her at a party and she just like went on and on about the experience on the show. Which is really kind of cool to hear about. They would have like 16-hour long days.
Dude, yeah, that's what's crazy about it. Like some of their builds are each one, like the shortest one I think I've seen is like 4 or 6 hours. Like that's production, dude. They are filming that shit.
Yeah. I watched the one where they had to make roller coasters, which is fucking dope. And there's these two engineers on the thing.
Yeah.
They made like a dragon like 4 feet up in the air. It's crazy, dude.
The shit that they make.
They made this like magnetic thing that guided the train spiraled all the way up. That shit was insane, dude.
You gotta watch the whole series. They're amazing.
But to answer your question, no, I haven't seen those. I have seen a couple of the movies that made us because I'm super fascinated by that. I've seen the Home Alone one and I've seen the Die Hard one.
Nice.
I don't think I've seen ones. More.
Well, anyways, we tossed around this fun little idea of, well, even more than the things that made us, I think you and I are massive, huge fans of a top five list.
I love lists. Pump it in my veins, baby.
Let's get into list. I love a list. a YouTube list, a top five.
It's
perfecto. So we thought we'd get into the top five game consoles that made us. And
I gotta say, Kyle, we love lists. I will say a top five is anxiety inducing for me. I love myself a nice top 10. Top 10's the sweet spot for me. 20 if I'm having, like, I'm bored that day and I just need to fill up more. I want more list in my life. Top five is really hard because I'm like, well, what if I leave off like one of my favorites, you know?
They're gonna hurt its feelings.
Yeah, right. Poor old Dreamcast.
Oh no. I'm sorry, buddy. You're number six. But yeah.
Honorable mentions. That's why honorable mentions are a thing. For people who are up, like, stressed about their picks, feelings getting hurt.
People that do honorable mentions also have commitment issues. we'll see where this goes. But yeah. So I guess we should stress that this isn't, in our opinion, like the best console or whatever. This is just like, we're trying to say these consoles had the most impact on like us as people and like our gaming, not career, but
like the trajectory tastes. That like,
yeah,
these are the systems that made us like, they had the biggest impacts on our lives in terms of gaming. And I think that is such a fascinating way of doing a list, because everywhere you look, if you type in like top five console or something like that, it's always rated by what's the best. And I guarantee you at least one of the ones on my list would never be in contention for even in the top 10 of best video game consoles ever. You know, these are things that just had such an impact on us as individuals. And I haven't been this excited for an episode in a long time. And I usually get pretty excited about recording. I love doing this every week.
Yeah.
I am so hyped for this.
I am too. It's going to be a pretty good time. I like a good discussion on anything. And it's fresh. It's fun. We're so excited. We're talking. We want to do a top five list like every month now, which I'm fully on board. Except I think outside of like our special theme months, a la Action Movie December.
Yeah.
So
I
Action Movie July.
I love it. I love fitting this in. I like, honestly, for me, this is, I had to do next to no prep work for this outside of, I made a huge list of every video game console I've ever had. And I just started crossing off ones that were not in my top five. This is the least prep I've ever had to do. I didn't have to watch a movie. I didn't have to watch a TV show. I didn't have to play a game. I am here for this every month.
Yeah. Least prep too. But also, like you said, a little anxiety inducing. I knew pretty much off the bat what my top three were going to be.
Yeah.
But then like you're saying, like trying to fit in what those last two are going to be, because you do have like your favorites, and it is really like weighing up like, well, really, did I do this more? And like, you know, these again, I don't even think that they're maybe the systems that I played the most on. But again, like just, and I don't know, games are art, just like movies and books. Like you watch a movie, you emulate the fucking guy in the movie you like, and you read something you like in a book, you remember that quote and you will put it in your, vocabulary. It happens. Like games do that too, man. They impact you. So I'm excited to get into it, buddy. We're gonna do this from least to top, so like 5 to 1.
Yeah, we definitely need to, because as I was telling you off the air, the order of my top two are not even like, they are gonna have to be on the fly in this. It's gonna come down to liquid. The wire.
Well, I say we kick it off, man.
Okay.
I go ahead and kick off my number five, because honestly, it's maybe a little generic, but I do feel like timing-wise and like expansiveness-wise, this was a very impactful system, because it's really, really the first one that I got into a lot of first-person shooters on, and that's going to be the granddaddy, the Xbox 360, man.
Okay.
Hugely impactful system to me. Played a shit ton of Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Halo, so much Halo multiplayer. And, you know, not only just, I guess, first person shooters, but online multiplayer in general. I got, that's where I, what, sharpened my teeth was on Xbox Live, man, back in those early days playing Splinter Cell. And there's some good RPGs on it too. A lot of great stuff on the 360. It was like, another nice thing about that one is that was another one of those consoles that literally everybody you knew had one.
Yes. So, everybody like, you knew. Yep.
You could also, that was still, you could trade games back and forth. So like if somebody had a cool one you wanted to try, like, oh, hey, let me borrow it, you know? So it was that cool era. Just a lot of just fond memories of that era, man.
Dude, back in the day when you would let somebody borrow a game, but first you had to open up the box, pop out the disc, and do like this inspection of, okay, mm-hmm. see, there's no scratches on here. I expect yep. it back like this.
It only took a couple tries before, you know, your lending circle gets very small.
Yep. Do you, okay, so do you have some favorite games from there? You did mention like a lot of
sure.
a lot of FPSs. You mentioned Halo. Yep. I think what Halo 3 was the one that was out on.
Yeah, Halo 3 was on that, and that Perfect was like Dark when Zero. Xbox Live really took off.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Halo 3 for sure. Also, like I said, Modern Warfare 2, spent tons of time on Modern Warfare 2. Mass Effect, man, mm-hmm. I played Mass Effect 1 and 2, probably 3. I think 3 was also 360. I played
that was
whole series on that shit, dude. Loved the Mass Effect series. But again, that's a shooter, but there's RPG elements. What a Red Dead Redemption. Remember mm-hmm. playing that? Tons of Grand Theft Auto. Come on, man. GTA, what, 4? So four much time and on GTA 5. 4. Yeah.
GTA oh, yeah, 5 was a
360. Wow.
Yeah.
God, that's how long that game.
GTA 5 has been, and Skyrim. These games are games that shit, are still Skyrim. Played to this day, launched yeah. on the 360.
Yeah, for sure. So I think like impactfulness wise, it was definitely what brought me on with FPS and online gaming. So for that, just a huge one. But yeah, that's man, 360. I think that's a good one. It's a good level to start on.
Okay. Kyle's number five, the Xbox 360. Mine, Kyle, is... I don't even know a model number. I don't know anything like that. My number five is just whatever DOS machine computer I had when I was a kid.
Sure.
That is going back... some of like my earliest memories of gaming and what really like sunk it, like I sunk my teeth into that. And I'm talking back floppy disks. We had like to install a game, there was like 16 disks that you had to go
I remember
in
that
black screen. Yeah. You're basically just in a command menu. You have to be typing in like command disk one, flap, put it in. Eject, put in another one. Dude, I felt like I was the coolest kid in the world that I was just sitting here installing all these games, running all these floppy disks in there. And then I was playing games like Disney's Coaster. Now, like, whoever is listening to this might think like, oh, Disney, Disneyland. It's really not that. It's basically, it's Roller Coaster Tycoon before Roller Coaster Tycoon. Outside of, like, you don't build this tycoon. You're just building roller coasters and riding them.
You I was going to say, I think I remember that game is the one that you could ride the coasters after yes. you built them, right?
Yes. That's and there was so this cool. crash test dummy that would be riding it. And if you crashed, like, the crash test dummy would go through this animation of, like, getting all destroyed. But, dude, it would go into first-person view. And I remember... like Roller Coaster Tycoon came out and I was so hype. I'm like, man, this is going to be like Coaster, that coaster game. But it never lets you ride it from the point of view of being in the cart until Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
I think it was much later on.
Yeah, it was the third one. And I remember being so disappointed the first two that like, man, I just want to ride the roller coasters like that old game. But man,
I built these things, man.
between that and we had Lemmings. Lemmings was one of my favorite games as a kid. We had like this dog fighting game that was, it was terrible. Like, I don't even want to look it up because it probably was dog shit, but you were playing and you were just like, this is when I first learned that when flying, I use inverted controls, because I'd be okay. using like the keypad and be hitting down to pull myself up and all of that stuff. My DOS computer.
Oh, dog fighting like in a plane. I thought yes. you meant like dogs fighting other dogs. I'm like, what yeah. kind of game?
Michael Vick, 1989.
I was like, what? What are you talking? And then I was like, oh, planes. Upside- yeah. Yeah.
Everybody Holy remembers fuck. Number Munchers, who's in our age bracket. Number Munchers was a lot of fun. All of the, like, I even really liked the school-ish games like that. I didn't have Oregon Trail. We played that in school, but we did have some of the more educational things. I'll eat that shit up. So for me, that my DOS computer easily makes my top five in the game, in the systems that made me, at my number five.
I never played much with the DOS system.
And Prince of Persia. How could I fucking yeah. forget Prince of Persia? I sucked at that game. I still do.
I famously did not have the computer good enough to game ever growing up. That's why I'm such a console kid. And I still play my PC games now with a controller, Xbox controller. You want to talk impactful? How about that?
Mm.
I still use the same goddamn controller. Yeah, man. I remember my cousin had, they always had like nice computers, and I would love when we'd go there for like Thanksgiving and shit, and like we'd stay like the weekend, and I'd get to play his new computer games. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what any of them were, but they were so cool.
Yeah, we ended up getting something that was running Windows 95 and whatnot, but by that point, I had drifted off to other systems that I may or may not get to later on this list, and I didn't come back to PCs until probably early to mid-2000s. PC isn't on my list, spoilers, but plus, I got heavy into PC in the mid-2000s.
It's also, it just wasn't as cool by the time I got to Windows, because you didn't feel like you were hacking into a mainframe to install your game anymore. You're just
exactly
clicking a couple things. You're not.
The coolest thing about Windows 95 when that came out was waiting for your computer to go to the screensaver, and then the tubes started going everywhere. And
tubes,
dude, like I remember spending so much time setting up custom screensavers, because I thought it was the coolest shit in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. All that shit was awesome. And the maze one.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah. It's much like thinking back. You remember when the DVD players had the DVD logo that would just bounce around? Yeah. Oh, is it going to touch the corner? Is it going to do it? Stupidest shit entertained us.
I saw a good one where a teacher had written all of his students' name on a whiteboard. And he had a DVD bouncing around in a box. And if it touched your name, he erased it. And the last person, they got to leave class.
I just saw that.
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah, he had it on a projector. They were playing it on YouTube.
Yeah, it was a YouTube one.
Of it.
Uh-huh. But I think like the kids got to come in and like they wrote their name wherever they wanted. And then he just played it. So it was cool.
So sick.
But yeah, my number four, man. You ready for this?
Yes.
It might be, I don't know. I'll see how it fares for you, because it's actually going to be a little relevant to your current situation. But thinking long and hard about it, outside of everything else, man, I got to say, another super impactful console on me was my Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
Holy shit. For a guy that doesn't like gaming on the go, this one changed everything and is what makes me still like a lot of things like my PS Vita and things of that nature. But man, specifically not only the GBA, but the GBA SP, when they came out with the foldable version that yep. had a backlight, it was compact. It could fit in any pocket that I had. Oh my God, dude. I literally did take that thing everywhere. It didn't take batteries, Sean. You could just charge it.
Yep.
That was Game a new changing. Thing too. It had like three huge innovations right there. And it was just literally the best thing I'd ever played. I played that thing for hours. I'd sit in my bed and play tons of RPGs on there. There was Golden Sun. There was this fucking awesome game called Boktai by Hideo Kojima that was a vampire game. You hunted vampires and you had a gun, but the fucking cartridge had a UV sensor and you had to play it outside and like charge it in the sun so your bullets would hurt vampires. Because of course, it's a Kojima game. It's fourth wall breaking.
That's ridiculous.
It's so awesome. Or you could just have a blacklight flashlight and every time you needed to charge up, boop, boop, boop.
Did you have a blacklight flashlight?
Of course I did, Sean. I bought one as soon as I found out I could do that in the game. I was like, oh, tight.
That's fucking cool, man. Which SP did you have?
I had the black one.
Okay.
I got lucky. I found a black one at my Walmart. I think it was the only one, like, when they came out. And I was there. I think that was back when, like, I used to go to Walmart at midnight because they would put stuff out early for, like, say something released on the 3rd. You go there, at like, on the 2nd around midnight and just kind of hang around the electronics section because sometimes they'd come stock that shit super early because they had, like, a time gate on it. I think that was one of those times. My buddy and I went and hung out and waited. And as soon as they brought them out, we're like, hey, can we get one of those?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know which one I had? Can you guess which one I had?
Did you have the orange one?
I did not.
Wow. Okay.
I had the NES one.
Oh, no way. That one was really cool.
Yeah, dude.
What did that come with? Was it like a Mario? Did it come with a Mario collection?
I don't think it came. If it came with anything, I don't remember. I just knew that I had to have it because obviously you flip it up and it looks like you're holding an NES controller, but it's like smushed together. So you got the red buttons and you've got like, it's the black console with like the gray lines going down.
Yep.
I had to look it up to make sure I wasn't crazy.
No.
And like in my head, making it up and just looking at it right now, got a tiny chub. Just being like,
it was one of those things that like, I remember seeing that. And the only reason I didn't get it, well, there was two reasons. Number one, I had just recently got my black one because I think that one came out not long after they originally launched. It was pretty quick after. And that was the other reason. Like, it's so hard, especially like when you worked a shitty minimum wage job to like just I just bought one of these. I cannot buy another one. And I was also weird about selling my shit. So I was like, I'll just keep the black one.
Wow. Sometimes, you know, the more things change, the more things stay the same, right? Man, I'm looking at them right now, and when you closed it, it looked like an NES console.
It's so cool, man. I remember it was so. There was like they talked about it in EGM, and I was like, God damn it, that's so awesome. I wished I would have waited, but
God damn.
Oh well,
they go for over. I still have my GBA on eBay. Too. Insane.
Yeah. Honorable mention to the 3DS. I also really like the 3DS. But.
Okay, so we are doing honorable mentions because I will be honest. I'm looking at my list and I'm stressing out because I actually have 6 marked down instead of 5 accidentally.
Oh. Yeah.
And I think I wasn't gonna 2 into 1.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it or focus on it, but I did just want to give an honorable mention to the 3DS because I think it's also pretty cool. But
I'm not going to.
So there's my number 4, buddy.
Your favorite game that you can think of off the top of your head for that system. If you were to just quickly just grab a game off the shelf and go play.
I mean, to the top of my head, Minish Cap, Legend of Zelda Minish Cap came up. So probably that or the Tactics as Advance.
Ogre
so
or one Final of those Fantasy? Two.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Cool.
Advance, the first one. So, but yeah.
Very dope pick. Kyle's number 4, the Game Boy Advance. All right, Kyle. This is a little weird, but I've got to say my number 4 is shockingly low to me, but it's only because I don't think it drastically changed or really sculpted like how I gamed, because the 90s for me was it was gaming. You know, I was outside. I was either outside playing or I was inside gaming, and believe me, I would have much rather have been inside gaming. My number 4 is the PlayStation 1.
Wow. Okay.
Which up until this very moment, the reason why I had hesitation is I just last minute switched this to be lower on my list. And I'm having trepidation. Like, it's actually kind of bothering me that I just did this, but I think it belongs in number four, and we'll get there after. The PlayStation 1 for me, this was our first, like, air quotes, big boy console, you know? It's, we mm-hmm. had, there's a Genesis upstairs, but we couldn't play that. That was, like, mom's system, and like their TV, it's on their TV, you know, in the living room. Nobody's gaming on the living room TV. So we had the NES downstairs. So we had an NES from my when NES I was like was four or five room. Until whenever the PlayStation 1 came out. So we had that for like 5 or 6 years. And so like the PlayStation 1, I remember we got it for Christmas, and we got it with Siphon Filter. And we got it with Final Fantasy VII. Those were the two games that we ended up getting with that. And that just really solidified me as I'm a PlayStation fanboy, I guess is what mm-hmm. we used to be called. Or
same.
You know, I still am to this day. Like, it runs deep.
Same.
The fact, PlayStation 1, snagged it. PS2, got it as soon as it came out. There's a weird period that we'll get into later. But then I did eventually have a PS3, had a PS4, have a PS5, have had a Vita, have had a PSP.
PSP.
I've had it all. And this was really what solidified my love. To this day, I don't understand why anybody would have possibly have wanted an N64 over a PS1. I don't understand. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm too old for that shit. But I still think to this day it was the better system with the better games. Love that thing. Dude, growing up with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Spyro and fucking NASCAR Heat and all of these crazy different games that... Parappa the Rapper, dude. Man, like, I have so many amazing memories. Tomb Raider. All of these games that are just jumping out at me that I can look back on so fondly and smile. I hear the startup sound. I can't help but smile. Mm-hmm. It's just, I love it, but it was just like the next evolution in the step of my gamedom instead of like really sculpting where I went. So
sure. What would you say was your favorite genre that you played in your PS1 era?
More either platform or action oriented.
Okay. So what, Croc?
What's that?
It's like Croc. You remember the Croc game? That was
I didn't popular. Play Croc. I didn't get to get a lot of games. But
Spyro?
Yeah, I love Spyro. Okay. I love Crash Bandicoot.
Okay, sure.
I mean, the Tony Hawk games, if I could play SSX Tricky, like that was great. Or
I don't think that Cool came out
Borders,
PS2.
I think, was the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, Cool Borders was PlayStation 1.
Yeah, yeah. And those cool were pretty
Borders!
Trash. They were so bad. Like, compared to SSS Tricky, it was not great. But yeah, that's my number four.
Okay. I would say some stuff, but we'll get back there.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
So I guess we'll jump on to number three, which number three for me was pretty set in stone, but it was a little in flux. But I got to say, it's the second appearance of a Nintendo console. And that's going to be the Nintendo GameCube, actually.
Wow.
Another wildly impactful game console for me, because while it was in a similar era as the 360, the game library and what it exposed me to was so vastly different, because there were so many games that were console exclusive to the GameCube. It was not only like the Nintendo games, but there's like the Metal Gear Solid remake, Twin Snakes. Super fucking crazy in camp, and I love that game.
Resident Evil.
I also played The Soul Calibur, I bought the one on GameCube because it had Link, like, and I played the shit out of that. What were the three weird artistic games? What's that?
What were the three in that? We had Xbox with Spawn, right? And Heihachi.
Yeah,
was
and
the
then
PlayStation?
PlayStation had Heihachi.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was wild cool. Time. And I always liked that they did that. Some people were pissed that you couldn't get every character, but it's like, that makes it unique and it at least gives a reason to get a version.
Yo, system pride, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I like you, I'm a Sony fanboy, but you're goddamn right. I'm getting the fucking GameCube version with Link and Soul Calibur. I loved Link and Soul Calibur. Used him all the time. Mm-hmm. Always loved Blue Tunic Link. That was my guy.
That's what's up. It's like Smash Brothers. Like, mm-hmm. You have your character and you have your color, too. Every time, yep. You're going to lock it in, baby.
Another one that'll come up a little bit later if people are smart and can put it together. A huge one I loved on GameCube was that they had the Resident Evil remake, and I played the reason I bought my GameCube was for that game. And when I bought my GameCube, I upset my mother quite a bit because I snuck into her room and used the graduation money I'd gotten from relatives, and I took a bunch. It's my money, but I wasn't supposed to get it until I graduated, and I went in and I took enough to go out and buy a fucking GameCube because I wanted that bitch. Because Resident Evil Remake came out and I wanted to play it real bad.
I like how you dropped it. That's my money. And all I heard was, and I want it now.
And I need it now. I need that GameCube. I remember I came home and I set it up and I played Resident Evil fucking all night until my mom woke up at 5 to go to work. And she was so pissed. She's like, what the fuck? So I'd call that pretty hugely impactful. Big impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
That was my first time actually ever playing completely through Resident Evil.
The remake?
All. Yep. Nice. With the Red Deads or the Redeads. The ones Redeads with the red heads.
Yeah. Those guys, they had Lisa Trevor. She was such an awesome addition.
Yep.
That game ruled, man.
That game looked good. That game played awesome. And I like, that's when I kind of fell in love with that series. I'm not really still on that train anymore, but mm-hmm. I was on that for a long time. It also had Resident Evil Zero, and I don't know if that was ever released on anything else, was it?
No, but not only Resident Evil Zero, and this is what I was going to get to, another hugely impactful one. Sean, that was also Resident Evil 4.
Yes, was the chainsaw dudes.
And, I think a third-person action adventure game, like... the over-the-shoulder style, that came from that. I played so much Resident Evil 4, Mercenaries mode. I got everything in that game. Infinite Rocket Launcher, Infinite Chicago Typewriter. Everything, man.
For a system that constantly, like, even now, kind of gets bashed and put down, that, like, without that, Resident Evil 4 wasn't going to be a thing. And that game was massively impactful on the industry. That's all you saw anywhere was Chainsaw Guy.
And then, you said, every game aped that game after that. Like, every game came out with a third person over the shoulder, left arm, pull up the gun style of Gears of War. Yep. Took that and everything, tweaked it and modified it. But that, like, set the groundwork, and it's still fantastic today, man.
And
it's GameCube, dog.
And dude, it's got my personal favorite Mario Kart of all time on it.
Double Dash. Huge. I had everything unlocked on that.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, I used to use Toad and a turtle because you would get mushrooms and shells more frequently. Yes. Boo.
If they do a Mario Kart 9, it's got to be a sequel to Double Dash because it hasn't been the same since Double Dash. That, to me, was the perfect Mario Kart.
Was peak. I really liked Double Dash, man. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
That game ruled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably my second favorite Mario Kart after, like, I love Mario Kart 8, man, especially on the Switch.
Okay.
Like, I mean, again, just so much time spent in that. I've been playing that one since, like, the Wii U, I think, so.
Yeah.
But Double Dash, still, it's a hugely special place in my heart. So.
Yep.
I was trying to think of so much. There was so much weird shit on that game, on that console, too. So many weird things with, like, the C-stick and goddamn it. Yeah.
Did you?
So GameCube, man.
Pikmin's started there, I think. Animal Crossing.
Yes. Animal Crossing, Shawnee.
Yeah.
Tell me GameCube wasn't hugely impactful.
Hugely impactful. Like, the more I talk about it, the more I'm kind of upset. Spoilers, that it's not on my list.
I like, as soon as I said it, I saw it on your face. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah, GameCube.
Yeah. Well, I had looked at it, and it's like, it's one of the last, because I forgot that I had it, which means it can't possibly be on my top five if I forgot that I had it. But man, I played that thing so much. I played tons of NFL games on that thing, and I don't like football games. Like, Super Mario Sunshine, one of my favorite Marios of all time. Don't even care.
Fucking game, GameCube, baby.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't ask, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. I also was able to get a black GameCube, and it matched my GBA SP.
Sick.
I think I drove to Bloomington. I drove like 30 minutes away to go get one at the mall because they had black ones up there.
I don't know why I didn't just assume that. I assumed that you just had a purple one for some reason.
Sure.
You have a Game Boy player for that thing?
I sure did. I've still got it on my fucking Game Boy or my GameCube now.
No.
The one that would play SP games?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And it would play regular Game Boy games, too?
I think that thing's worth some loot, dude.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, it's not like you're ever going to sell it, so it don't matter. But
no. I never will. That's not my style, baby. So, but yeah, that's my number three, man. I'm glad that one caught you off guard. That's awesome.
Man, it's like I'm hearing all of yours and I'm like, man, did I just go so vanilla on this?
I don't think so. Dude, the DOS was huge out of left field. I wasn't expecting that at all. So
that was my big surprise for you. Actually, this one might come as a surprise.
Yeah. Let me hear number three.
My number three is the Xbox 360.
Go fucking on, son. Go deep.
I knew that was going to catch you as you're walking away to go get some water. I was like, let me time this. The Xbox 360. So it's wild for this to be so, to even be on my list, yet alone number three, considering I didn't get an Xbox 360 until like 2010 or 2011. I didn't even get it when it came out in 2006. I had a PS2 till 2007-ish, had a Wii in there in some form or fashion, but I largely wasn't really gaming between 2006 and maybe 2010, 2011. And the reason why it is so high on my list is it's kind of what brought me back to gaming at all. And yeah. If there's something that's kind of the definition of game consoles that made us or that like really impact our lives in gaming, it can't not be on this list. Now, I can't really, off the top of my head, we just kind of played a lot of stuff. You know, my buddy and I, we played a lot of, we played Borderlands. Borderlands was awesome on that system. We played so much of that. We played a lot of Call of Duty Zombies. We played so much Halo. Like, dude, that was the Halo console for years. Like,
yeah.
Like nonstop. I did play a lot on other people's 360s before I ended up getting one just because we just played Halo a lot. But to me, that was like, oh, let's just go play Halo. You know, not like I want to be gaming kind of thing.
But sure. I know that feeling too. Exactly what you're talking about. I love that we both have a joint console here.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it won't be the only one. I'm assuming. But I played a lot of Battlefield on that thing. I played a lot of Call of Duty on that. And, you know, there are other games that I played, but much like you, it was a big FPS system for me. I wasn't playing a lot of RPGs on that. That was a big PlayStation thing, you know, years ago and kind of more recently since. But surprisingly, I'll pull it back the curtain. There's not another PlayStation system on here, even though that's all I play now. I've had an Xbox One. I traded that like immediately for an NES game. And I've only had PlayStation since. But yeah, for someone that's like, oh, Xbox sucks, whatever. 360, I had a PS3 at the same exact time. I almost never played the PS3. I played the Xbox all the time. Love that system. I think that changed a lot of people's lives in gaming. Whenever they started changing the interface, like the UI for a system, I think is something that is just ingrained in us now. But in that era is really when it came to fruition. And like you mentioned, Xbox Live and the introduction of paying, you know, this isn't the greatest thing, but the introduction of paying a yearly price to be playing online, and it kind of almost made you feel cool. Like, especially for me in the earlier days, we're like, oh yeah, I pay for this cool service. I get to play online all the time and blah, 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 talk shit to people on mics, and just a lot of really great memories early on in that system.
Yeah, man. A lot of, but I think part of the cool factor and the reason I probably gamed so much more during the Xbox Live era is because, like, you are paying for that service. Mm-hmm. And as we met, you don't have a lot of money when you work those shitty jobs. So, like, you're going to fucking get your money's worth out of whatever you, and a big chunk of it going to that. Like, 100%. I played a lot of shit online.
Dude, I think it's September or October. It's August or September every year that I get an email from PlayStation saying that I just got charged for a year membership of PlayStation. I'm like, fuck, I forgot about that. I haven't played that in 2 months.
Yeah, I think they just told me that they're actually going to, they were going to try to charge me, but I think I took my card off because I wanted to get some more of the little cards. But oh, I don't know what to do.
Black Friday, dude. Stock up on them Black Friday ones. 30 bucks for a year. Eat my butt, PlayStation.
Eat my butt. It's funny. I didn't wait as long as you, but I also did not get a 360 for a while. What made me get one was similar to you. I went to my buddy Nathan's house because I saw the commercials for Gears of War. And he's like, well, hey, my brother has a 360. We should rent this and you can come over and play it. And, like, I think his brother even only had one controller, so I went and bought my own Xbox controller, and me and Nathan, like, I was on unemployment or some shit, and, like, I think I just hung out at his house for, like, 3 days, and we just played through all of Gears of War.
That's awesome.
And that was great. And then, like, not long after that, I was like, man, I really need a 360. So, again, I like that it was so impactful for both of us, man.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I talk a lot about, like, Battlefield, Call of Duty, and Halo, and I mentioned this earlier, but I can't state enough how much I love Borderlands because of that system and the split screen that we had on that, and just, like, the comedy that came from it. The art style was really, it was unique at the time. This was also when, like, cel shading was really coming back heavy.
Yep.
But
it also had that sweet ass Cage the Elephant intro, and it was just so hip and cool and fucking awesome.
Rest for the wicked.
Rest for the wicked.
Yeah, dude. It's hard for me to even differentiate between, like, Borderlands 1 and 2, which I like more. Like, I love Borderlands 2, but there's just, like, a huge chunk of Borderlands 2 all 1.
Day for me, man.
Yeah. Dude, Handsome Jack.
One was
just
cool.
Yeah. I have nostalgia for one, but I think two's the better game. Better villain, better lines, Butt Stallion, you know.
All of it is, like, one felt like the most perfect beta ever. Like, sort of like how Destiny 1 is a great game, but, like, compared to Destiny 2, it's, like, it's a great, you can tell the building block, and I feel that way with Borderlands. Like, it's a great base system, but 2 takes everything and just turns that dial to 11 to such a fucking degree that it's, man, 2 is like a fucking perfect game.
And it's like, it's a great one player game, but, like, if you have a buddy that you can play through that game in split screen or online or whatever, it was the greatest fucking experience, dude.
Hours and nights spent with Casey just fucking Borderlands 2.
That's
who was your character? Let's talk this. Who was your main?
Mordecai.
Okay, and Borderlands 1. What about 2?
Oh, hold on. Borderlands 2. You tell me. I'm going to look up
so real in 2, quick. I used Zero, who was the sniper assassin guy.
Yep, the one with the sword.
And in 1, I used, I was a Roland, the soldier main. No, yep. yeah, I was Roland.
Okay, so characters that you can play. Oh, yo, okay, so Maya was dope. Zero was the first character that I played through, because, like, dude, you can go invisible and then assassinate people from behind. And he's a
sniper assassin? Come on, dog.
So fucking sick. So that was my main, and then the second time I played through, I used Maya. Because, like, Axton, the commando, it's like, man, you're so vanilla. Like,
yeah,
you're vanilla. The Necromancer was a DLC character that came out after,
I had her. I played as her, too.
Yeah. And the Gunzerker, meh.
When I played with Casey, he used Brick in Borderlands 1, and he was the Gunzerker in Borderlands 2.
Mm, nice.
So,
yeah, dude, he was always Mordecai,
our tanky.
Huh? Just sniping people with Mordecai. Oh. Felt like a god.
Dude, and he had the fucking eagle.
Yeah, eagle. Man.
That shit ruled, man.
Screech! Yeah.
All right, broski. We're getting into the top two.
Top two. Lead us off.
Top two. So, for me... you know, this is, I think, what sort of kicked everything off and started this reminiscing and the even discussion around this episode. So shouldn't be too much of a surprise. But number two for me, man, is the Sega Dreamcast.
Sega Dreamcast.
The amount of just, again, like, I feel like each one of these sort of opened a door for me and showed me, like, new levels of gaming that I wasn't familiar with. I loved Crazy Taxi on the Dreamcast. I loved
great game
Jet Grind Radio. I think it's Jet Set was the sequel. I think Jet Grind was the first one on Dreamcast.
I think there it's a translational difference between Japan and here.
Is it?
There's okay. Jet Set and Jet Grind.
I loved that. I feel a lot of people for them. Their big introduction to the 3D era was the PS2, but for me, it was the Dreamcast, the 3D adventure game, Blue Stinger. There was a Fighting Force game on there that was so fucking sweet. I loved Sonic Adventure. I played the absolute shit out of Sonic Adventure. The fucking Dreamcast had the VMU, Sean, mm-hmm. where like the memory card, everybody, was its own tiny little Game Boy. That almost every game on the Dreamcast had a little sub game that it would install on your little memory card that you can play, take it with you. I remember taking that thing with me out to like dinner with like our huge family gatherings, and I was just feeding my little Sonic Chow while we're at Outback Steakhouse.
Because it was basically, and this is very age dependent on whoever's listening, it was a little Tamagotchi.
It was very Tamagotchi, yeah.
So you had a Chow Tamagotchi just from playing Sonic, which made your Chow in the game better because there was events that you could do with your Chows. And then you could breed your Chows due to their happiness or misery. Like you could get a Halo one or a Devil one. Shit. Yep.
That shit ruled. And I did all of those. I got all the Chows unlocked. I remember I used to love playing the last level where you fight like the giant chaos dragon thing as Super Sonic, and it's got that guitar riff wailing through. Ugh. Like you said on GameCube, you played a lot of sports games. I, for some reason, played tons of sports games on the Dreamcast. I had NFL 2K, NBA 2K. Loved those games, dude. Mm-hmm. Played them all the time.
NFL 2K on that was awesome.
It was such a fucking great game, dude.
There was
I had a running back that was super tiny and super fast, and his name was Fuck Monkey.
That's amazing. Actual member of the Chicago Bears, folks.
And his jersey number, of course, was 69.
Fact check it.
Unbeatable. Juked everybody out. Great.
Dude, I loved in that era games where you could just arcade the shit out of it and make the most ridiculous characters. And just like... I don't remember what system this was for, but there was a football game for like the PS1 where you were like a bunch of monsters, but you could tackle each other and like their heads would fall off. You'd hit them so hard.
Mutant League Football, I think.
Mutant Football League?
Mutant League Football, yeah.
Mutant League Football. That game fucking ruled, but it makes me think of the Dreamcast, because I also had NFL 2K for that.
Yeah.
And you just made a roided out team that could just do whatever.
What I used to love to do in NFL 2K was turn injuries up and turn late hits off. And the AI didn't care about the rules, so it would still follow the rules. And then you just go back there and beat up their quarterback till he got injured. Uh-huh. And then turn that stuff off and beat the shit out of the team.
See, we're very similar in that, like, I wasn't playing it for the football. I was playing it for the ridiculous shit like that. And then you would spend, like, 10 minutes watching the replay from different angles and, like, slowing it down.
From every angle? Yeah. God damn, Sean.
It's like you would rewind it. It's like, oh, watch this. Smack!
Watch. Oh, they dropped the ball. Yeah. God damn, dude. We're the same fucking person.
This is also a thing that is, I think, very specific of the era of the Dreamcast. So I don't mean to be like hopping onto your numbers, but like,
no,
I
also have. This is what we're doing the talk for.
I have great nostalgia for that system as well because
it's a fucking great one.
A big thing that the Dreamcast did very well was certain physics. If you will, certain physics, really, really harnessed the power of these physics. And those games were the Dead or Alive series.
Oh, yeah, buddy. And love the Dead or Alive series. Played a shit ton of that.
It was until like in the late 2000s when I would tell people, and I still stand to it to this day, that Dead or Alive 3 had better. I saw better graphics in Dead or Alive 3 on the Dreamcast than I did in most Xbox 360 games in 2008. They were very ahead of their time and very specific games.
Yeah.
But that was a fantastic fighting series that absolutely rode off the back of breast physics.
A little TNA.
Yeah.
We briefly mentioned it earlier when we talked about the GameCube, but another one, dude, Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast, one of the just so many hours spent at friends' houses just playing fucking Soul Calibur and fighting, and god damn it. Another, we talk about defining features, man. One that I have to mention about the Dreamcast that I always remember is that was the first console I played online because I played Phantasy Star Online with Casey, as I did with everything, and I fucking loved PSO. So much time spent on that. And not only that, that was the first console I ever remember paying for DLC for. I bought a digital weapons pack for Skies of Arcadia.
Wow. And
I think those games are not, or those items are not even in the GameCube like remaster version. The only way you can have those is if you bought them off the Sega DLC store fucking 20 years ago, and I still have them on my VMU that I have in my cases over there.
That's,
I've got my
amazing
Skies of Arcadia. Yeah, so god damn it, dude, I loved all that shit.
I remember looking through I didn't have a lot when I was a kid. Like, I often spent a lot of time looking through manuals for no fucking reason, like look through the manual for the system just for entertainment and like absorb all the content that I could. And there's always that page in one of those booklets that has like all the accessories. Yeah. And I remember distinctly seeing the keyboard that you could get to type. And I'm like, what the fuck is that thing for?
I had
but
that.
But you also had Typing of the Dead.
And I had Typing of the Dead too.
Jesus, I still do have dude.
It.
I have that
have
on my PC
for
right
Dreamcast
now.
Still. I have all of that shit because I don't give any of that shit up.
That's freaking awesome, dude.
It's the keyboard. It has a Dreamcast connection. It has the Dreamcast logo on it. So fucking cool, man.
That's fucking wild, man. You should just like retire tomorrow. Just sell all your stuff and retire.
I totally should. I will ever. It'll be buried with me.
That is your number two.
That's okay. My number two, dog. Dreamcast. So.
All right. Okay, Kyle. My number two, actually, it became very easy to decide what order was what once I started, like, once I shifted down the PS1, like, early on in this list, because I was absolutely, like, in my top two, and I threw myself for a whirl. My number two, Kyle, is the NES.
Wow, yeah, sure.
The NES, to this day, I have it downstairs. I have more physical games for the NES than I do anything else. I actually have two NESs and two classic NES. Like, that system to me is the reason, like, the DOS, like, yeah, I loved doing that when I was a kid and it was a lot of fun and I loved those games, but like the NES and sitting down in front of my TV is the reason that I'm a gamer to this day. And yeah, there's a lot of times where I kind of like drifted away. And like I said, the Xbox 360 brought me back, but I'm sure there would have been something else that brought me back. It just so happens that that was the system that did it at that time. But the NES is the reason why I'm a gamer. We got that from my grandmother when she ended up getting like an SNES and she gave that to us along with like all of the Nintendo powers from like, it was like 1 to 40 or whatever that we would keep underneath the entertainment system. And dude, I read those front to back every day. Yeah. Over and over and over, just scouring. And I remember like playing a game and being like, which copy was that in? And I'd read through 10 of them to just like find where it was.
Yep.
Find like some little code or something I could put into the game. It was my first introduction to Game Genie, which we did an episode on ages ago, which we gushed about how cool that was. There was so much about this that defined my childhood that it actually like it defines a good like a quarter of my life just was the joy that I derived from playing that. When I was a kid, we had, you know, a big old box TV, but we also had like another TV downstairs for some reason. And I have these vivid memories of playing Star Tropics on one screen while Little Giants was playing on the other screen. So that's absolutely the start of my problem now.
Sure,
where
sure.
If I'm not listening to something or watching something on another screen, I'm not gaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much that I can tie back to those times that I can't help but think that this is almost the most impactful system in my life. And dude, I get the NES hard, the Nintendo hard, whatever. I don't care. Get good. Mm-hmm. Play the game more, whatever. Not all games are winners. I also understand that, but there are dozens that hold a fond spot in my heart. And that's never going to change ever.
You know, it was hard, excuse me, for me, honestly, to justify not putting the NES anywhere on my list, because I also grew up with the NES, but, really thinking, to me, it wasn't a defining console, even though it did really spark my interest in gaming. Thinking on it, like, my ADHD really impacted my ability to enjoy gaming, especially as a youngster. I feel if more Nintendo games had like a battery save, I probably would have been more invested. But I was so into, you play like a couple of levels and then I'd get bored and I'd change games. And like, so I was really good at like the first few parts of a lot of games. But Sean, I think maybe the only game on the Nintendo I really remember beating is like the first Super Mario 3 in this game called Totally Rad.
Wow. But like
nothing else would ever hold my interest long enough. So like while I did enjoy gaming, I don't think that's really impactful. Like I remember getting frustrated as hell at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the NES because I couldn't beat the second fucking level. Battletoads couldn't get past the fourth fucking level. Like I remember a lot of that, and I guess you could chalk that up to Nintendo hard, but again, it just would make me focus on other things. I played a lot of games, but I didn't really get into games.
So what's that's really cool, because as similar as we are in so many different things, that's like I could say the exact same thing, but the opposite.
Yeah, you had hyper focus.
I had hyper focus, but also like at the same time not. So yeah, I would play the first couple levels of things and be like, "Oh man, let me play this game." But I loved playing those first couple levels in a game. And like oftentimes I'd find myself get to a new part where I'm like, "Oh, I'm not very good at this." And I'm like, "Eh, let me switch out." So like there was games, man, where I just loved playing the first couple of levels and then just switching out. And I think that's where a love of RPGs really started to develop, which is super impactful on my life. You know, Final Fantasy 1, Crystalis, like Legend of Zelda 2. Like, I love that game. I love that game probably more than the OG original game.
Which is saying a lot.
Which is saying a lot. And I get it. Super unpopular. Don't give a fuck. But I've also beaten Mike Tyson's Punch Out when I was like 7.
That's insane to me.
I mean, it was just, I liked the fact that a lot of those games, you could get these codes, much like a Game Genie. Dude, Metroid. What is it? Justin Bailey, you know? The bathing suit code. I thought it was the coolest kid in the fucking world, putting Samus in a freaking bikini.
Ugh. I'd never played a Metroid, even a Metroidvania, until Symphony of the Night.
Wow.
I never played Metroid. I never played Super Metroid. I had no idea that was one of my favorite genres.
It's wild how that happens. And yeah, man, there are so many games that I never beat. Astonax. I loved Astonax. I don't know why I just brought that up, but that's another game that I love because I did beat it because I played it so much.
Yeah.
But there's so many games that I never beat, and I don't care. Like, now, as an adult, I would probably go back and beat it.
Yeah.
Fine, cool. I'll hyper-focus on that and beat the shit out of it, but...
All the other guys that do it fucking suck. Sean, I love watching you fucking play DuckTales in under 5 minutes.
No. That's world record pace. I did it in under, like, 8 or 9.
Whatever it is, it's fucking amazing. That's an NES game. That's just fucking years of you doing it and muscle memorying it because you've got all of that memorized.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just, I love that. I love watching you do that. That's, again, totally get the impactfulness. That's an amazing thing. I love it.
It's my happy place of gaming. Like, if I could sit down and just like have a joyful afternoon playing a game, I'm playing the NES.
Mm-hmm.
So. That is my number two. Kyle, we are on the number one of this list.
Yeah.
This is the longest solo, no extra guest episode that we have had. And it does not even feel like it doesn't even feel like it.
I know. I didn't. I mean, I tossed some very obvious breadcrumbs. If you don't see this one coming by now already, you're pretty dumb, but I didn't touch on yours earlier because, Sean, my number one most defining impactful game system is the PlayStation 1, man.
I had a feeling this was coming.
As soon as we started this list, I knew immediately that was my number one. No system ever impacted me in the way that one did. That unlocked so many fucking doors, dude. I'd never played an RPG before PlayStation 1, and I fucking fell in love with Final Fantasy 7. Which is my favorite game of all time to this day. That's impactful. I've never played a Metroidvania until Symphony of the Night, which is one of my all-time favorite games. Easily top 10. I'd say that's impactful. So many fucking games. Resident Evil, Sean. I remember getting a PlayStation and like me and my mom playing and me seeing that first zombie turn around and fucking being blown away. I remember my jaw actually dropping like, what the fuck? Silent Hill, one of the fucking craziest, creepiest things of all time. Love the Silent Hill series on that. Sean, Metal Gear Solid 1, PlayStation 1, craziest shit. Paw Rappa the Rappa, as you mentioned. Oh my god, dude.
Armored
demo Core. Discs from Pizza Hut.
Dude, I didn't even bring up demo discs on my PlayStation. So and it was loved like them. One of the things I wanted to bring up. Like, I thought about it all day today. I need to bring up demo discs. Dude, I would buy magazines from Barnes & Noble. Magazines
at Walmart because it had a disc.
Yep.
Yeah. The Pizza Huts. Like, there was a Pizza Hut promo. I think they ended up doing three different demo discs that you could get if you ordered, like, a pan pizza. Mm-hmm. I had them all.
Yep.
One of them had Intelligent Cube, which was a fucking fantastic demo and a fucking amazing puzzle game.
There are literally millions of people that have played Warehouse from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater because of a demo disc. Mm-hmm. And played that demo disc over and over and over and so over again.
Much time. I remember going to a buddy's house. Again, I had a PlayStation, but this was like a new renaissance in gaming for me. So I didn't have a lot. I went to a buddy's house with like three other buddies. It was the first time I was ever going to have alcohol in my life. We had Everclear. And
okay, that's a way to do it.
I know. I really put my feet in the fire first off the jump.
Jesus Christ.
Before we really got into it, he had a PlayStation as well, but he had this game called Tony Hawk. And like as soon as he put it in, I couldn't stop playing it. I was a real selfish asshole. And everybody started getting drunk, and I drank a little bit, but I pretended to drink way more because they all got drunk and passed out. Dude, Sean, I stayed up till it became sunlight playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater in his fucking bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's impactful. Tony Hawk, dude. Oh my God, Sean. I can't. All the RPGs I played that unlocked something. Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Legend of Legaia, Legend of the Dragoon. God damn it, dude.
Dude, I'm retroactively going back and swapping the place of the Xbox 360 and the PS1. I'm still butthurt that I did that. I'm swapping their places.
I can't. I wasn't too burnt because I knew it was going to be my number one and I knew we were going to focus on it a lot, man. But dude, just the amount, the fucking Game Shark. I had a Game Shark for that, which, yeah, I had a Game Genie, but the things that I could do on the Game Shark, and because of the internet, I had access to so much more and to new stuff.
Yep.
Oh, you want Sephiroth in your party in FF7? It'll probably not work all the way, but you can fucking do it. Let's go.
Oh, you've been trying to do the nude code for Lara Croft and Tomb Raider?
Here you go.
The triple circle, hop forward twice, do two backflips, quarter circle turn. Oh, it didn't work?
There it is.
Well, you know what? You can make her flesh colored. Give her little flesh colored pyramids on her chest. Yeah.
Oh, it's so hot, dog.
Dude. Game Shark and the action replay.
God, dude. Just for real. If I could go back in time and be a kid playing Silent Hill at my buddy's house, he had a scooter. I was 14. We rode on Double Dutch on his scooter. So I'm sitting behind him. And of course, I'm holding onto the basket behind because it's gay if I hold onto his sides, even though my crotch is pushed up right against his ass and lower back.
Yeah.
You know, that's not gay.
No.
So riding on the back of his moped for 15, 20 minutes on like a backcountry highway to get to his small town Walmart so I could use my saved up money to buy Silent Hill so we could take it home and play it all weekend.
Not going to lie, Kyle. Kind of risky with all the vibrations from the moped, dude. Little risky.
Did it for the Silent Hill, baby. Then I do it again. So I just, I can't, again, like if I would paint the Sistine Chapel, my finger would be touching the PlayStation power button. Mm. I'm Michelangelo. And that, because that's the impact it had on me, man. It opened up the entire world of gaming to me. And I'll never go back, dog.
That's awesome, dude. That right there just screams the definition of you and the defiance of like consoles and molding you into kind of what you enjoy to this day. You know, mm-hmm. It's how many of the Final Fantasies do you have platinumed?
I mean, too many. Since I've just finished that one, I'm going to go back. I'm trying to finish out Nines and Final Fantasy 12, which I think are a few that I don't have still, but I'm close.
And you can trace all of this back to the PlayStation 1 and Final Fantasy 7 right there. So
I think I have four different PlayStation branded shirts. If I ever got tattoos, I'd get the four buttons on my knuckles.
That's a choice.
But Yeah.
I was going to say that's cool, but I couldn't say it. I couldn't forget myself.
I love the little subtle regional differences, how in Japan, their confirmation is the circle and their denial is the X, which makes perfect sense. But due to regional differences in America, X is always, you're checking that box.
Yep.
So X is always confirmed for us.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
And that right there, that, it, the PlayStation, okay, to get even further in this, defined the controller what it is today.
For, yeah.
The very first PlayStation drew the blueprints for the controllers that we have right now.
The two shoulder button. They're the ones that added the two analog sticks.
Yep. In the correct place, mind you.
Mm-hmm. It really set, really set the stage, man.
Yeah.
Huge.
Man.
So there we go, man. That's my number one.
I had a feeling that I'm was going to be the case.
And curious to see what yours is, because I think I have an idea, but I'm not for sure. So I'm
ready
to see where this goes. My guess is probably wrong, but my guess is the Super Nintendo.
I never had a Super Nintendo.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
That's usually the most defining for a lot, but.
My number one is the Game Boy. Game Boy Pocket.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. I love that. Great choice.
Game Boy Pocket, I guess, slash Game Boy Color. Because let's be real. There's really no difference. You know, sure, there are some games that you got some colors out of it, but it never really mattered. Between the Game Boy Pocket and the Game Boy Color, there's, in my eyes, there's really no difference. But dude, that right there changed my life when it came to gaming. I guess you could argue the original Game Boy, but my sister had one of those. I didn't. I got a Game Boy Pocket. Like, I got to play a lot of hers, but Game Boy Pocket was my first one. Then I ended up getting a Game Boy Color, then a Game Boy Advance, then a Game Boy Advance SP, then a DS, 3DS. Like, all the way up. I've run the entire gamut. I've had every single one since then because for a reason, you know, it's, this is the system that changed it all for me. I could have everything that I wanted and that I loved with my NES and sitting in front of a TV, but now I don't need an extra TV. I can sit there on the couch. I can play this. I sank thousands of hours. I almost guarantee it. I sank thousands of hours in a car every single trip, whether it be to the grocery store, to grandma and grandpa's. We went to Maine every year, 5-hour drive. My Game Boy was out. And this is back before there was a backlight. You mentioned the SP, introduced the backlight. Yeah. So you either had the worm light. Guess what? I didn't. I didn't have that shit. I didn't have that magnifying screen that popped up that had a light either. You know what we did back in the day? When it was dark out and you're driving at night, one, you prayed there was a car behind you so you could hold up the Game Boy and get the car, the headlights to light it up. Or if you're in the front seat, you could put down the sun flap and hope there's a mirror in there to direct the light beams onto your system.
But you couldn't turn on the dome light because that's illegal.
Yep. My parents made that very clear.
That's so stupid. We believed it for so long, Sean.
To this day, I don't like turning it on while I'm driving.
Our parents scarred us. They gave us emotional, physical trauma of turning on a dome light while a car is in motion.
Yo, I think a couple of months ago, Sarah went to turn it on. I'm like, do it quick. You're not supposed to do that. Dude, my school bus ride was less than 3 miles. Do you know how many times I missed my school bus stop because I was playing Pokemon?
That's hilarious.
Too many times. Too that's many times. Great. The bus driver was not happy. Not happy. Damn it, Sean.
It's wild. I talked about the Advance SP. I also had the classic Game Boy. But I totally skipped the Pocket/Color generation because I think that was also around the time that I got heavily into PlayStation. And I was in my teens. So, like, at that point, handhelds, especially, like, a brightly colored one, dude, again, to use the night, that was gay. I could not.
I'm a couple years younger than you, so
exactly.
I can get away
so it was still cool for you. It wasn't the issue. But me in like junior high, late junior high, early high school, couldn't do it. So I did all my console or my gaming in the privacy of my room.
Dude, I remember like sixth or seventh grade, like Pokemon, like bringing in a link cable and trading.
Oh, that's so, I'm so jealous of you.
And our fucking minds being blown when you'd like trade somebody a Haunter and it would just like turn into a Gengar and you're like, what? No. And then you're like, you got to trade it back. You got to trade
it back. Give it back right now. No way, dude. You gave it to me.
Yeah, right. And so like there's, you're throwing fisticuffs in the middle of a Catholic school, like parking lot.
The thing I remember about the Game Boy Pocket and the Game Boy Color, though, was that was when Nintendo really started kicking off this personalization thing of like, get it in any color that you want.
Yep.
But I remember there was tons of different colors for that. So I got to ask Sean, what color did you have?
I had a yellow. I had either a yellow or a red. I don't know why. I don't remember. Possibly because I had a purple Game Boy Pocket because it wasn't like purple. It was like that cobalt purple kind. So okay.
It was like the shiniest, almost kind of, I know what
it was like a lighter bluish purple. So you wouldn't get beat up in the parking lot or in the playground kind of color.
Sure. Sure, sure.
And then maybe one broke, and maybe I had a yellow, but maybe I'm just conflating that with a friend's. But I had so many of these that, like, I don't really remember.
You had a lot of different colors. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But, dude, that really kicked off something that, to this day, we talk about rather frequently. Steam Deck, my favorite system, period, right now.
Yeah, you play it because it's handheld.
I said earlier that I had six selected, and that's because I don't know why I had an extra one selected, but Switch was going to be on my list.
Sure.
Because that single-handedly right there, and that's going to be my honorable mention here, is that made me fall in love again with mobile gaming.
Yeah, in the handheld style.
In the handheld style. I to this day, I don't think I've played it docked more than 15 hours total, and that system saved me a lot through the pandemic. Like Animal Crossing, dude, I played that so much on the Switch.
So, I remember waking up every day of the pandemic and logging onto my island before I logged on to work for the day, and then I just keep my computer and I just play in it. It's a good time.
Update from everybody on last week, that system that I said I wasn't gonna buy.
Totally got one.
Oh, yeah, totally
like
got one.
You mean the one that's like a handheld Game Boy, Sean?
Yeah, the one that can. Yeah, the one that can play every Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance game.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you got that. Color me surprised. Now I've got to get one too. I am totally gonna get one,
dude. I'm so fucking hyped. I'm so excited.
Man, look at that, Tony Hawk. Sean. Goddamn, almost an hour and a half. And yeah. I feel like we could still keep talking about all these. I could gush for another hour about these systems. I really could too.
We never even brought up Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. No,
for the game again. Goddamn, impactful, Shawnee boy.
Jesus, that game.
I think our lists are absolutely perfect, bud.
I think so too. It was just the perfect amount of different, and also just the perfect amount of predictable as well.
Yeah.
In terms of like, oh, this has got to be on this for this person or whatever. But a couple of surprises. I'm very surprised at how your list shaped out.
Yeah.
Not so much that PS1 was number one, but, you know,
all the other
everything
stuff.
Else.
I'm glad I got you with the one surprise. And I'm glad that we got to talk about your GameCube stuff, too. Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking tight, man.
I loved that system. And it wasn't until we were talking about it that I'm like, why is that not on my list?
Yeah.
But totally. That's just because it would have been number six, you know?
My number six, if we're just to throw out that honorable mention, would be the N64.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be in my top 10, but that's just because I don't have a affinity.
I had that. You talked about getting the 64 or the PlayStation, and I was that kid. I got the 64. Because I'd played my Walmart had Mario 64 set up, and I played it, and again it was like, whoa. And so I wanted that, and
you know what the game that got me the closest to wanting one was?
Was it GoldenEye?
No. I mean, that I didn't need to get. Like, I knew enough people.
Everybody had it.
Like, yeah. Mitch had it, so he'd just bring it over and we'd play, so it didn't matter. But every time we went back to school shopping for, like, 2 years straight, they had N64 set up in the clothes section for all the kids to, like, not cause trouble or whatever.
Yeah.
And for, like, 2 years, so a back to school, a year went by and a back to school, they had Star Wars Pod Racing.
Dude.
As the game. And that's the game that got me the closest to wanting an N64.
I mentioned my fucking top five N64 games, and Pod Racer is on there. That game fucking rules.
Dude. That's why I responded with fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's in the absolute top five. That game is amazing.
Mm.
I fucking love it. Dude. Not only that, Shawnee, I love you. I love this list. This was great fun. I'm looking forward to these.
This was a lot of fun. Like, if we could think of enough content to only do top lists, I would do it every fucking week. But
I'm saying we're definitely going to. We really should have we fucked up, dude. We should start filming these, and I'll just start throwing these on YouTube, and we have top five lists on YouTube.
I love that, because I'm sure audio listeners will hear, but I've also been playing with Rupert for the last half an hour because he's getting pissed off that I'm sitting in here talking to you for so long. So, like, check this out.
It's a pop cam!
Oh. Ah! Yeah. This is...
He's so cute, though.
Yeah. He's just... Poppy. I've been sitting here pulling on a ball for the last 10 minutes, so he feels engaged.
Yep. But that's what they do. Yeah. So, we'll let you go get engaged with Rupert, and you guys can play ball. We'll shut the fuck up, because we're at an hour and a half, which was way more than I thought, but hell yeah, man. The next top five that we do is what we've roughly planned out. It's going to be a long one.
It's going to be a long one.
Maybe put that as a weekend recording so that we can just not worry.
That I'll plan for that. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Wait, so there's going to be four of us for that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a long episode.
All talking. Yeah. Woo. That's going to be fun, though, man.
What we can do? We could probably just, like, record the whole thing, and then I can find a spot to just split it into 2 weeks.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheat the fucking system. Yo, make them wait a month, though.
Until next time, I will say, audience, go PlayStation yourself, Sean.
Go. Oh, I don't feel like saying. Go boy your games. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle, if you had to eliminate one from your life, okay, if you could go back and never have played one of these, would it have been Resident Evil or the first Kojima game you played, which I'm assuming is Metal Gear Solid?
Boy, for sure, 100% easily Metal Gear Solid.
Really? That's not what I thought you were going to say. You would eliminate Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, eliminate. No, Resident Evil. I thought you said... What? Eliminate? I thought you meant eliminate to play it and experience for the first time.
But no. You're saying, you have to go back. Resident Evil. And you never would have played one.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Okay.
I'd much rather have played... I get what you're saying. Yeah. Over the lifetime of my gaming career, Metal Gear Solid has been more impactful, even though I love Resident Evil.
I do like your thing of, like, wipe your memory and be able to play it again.
Yeah.
It would be Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid. Okay. Yeah. Cool. 100%. Dude, that first time you play that, woo, what a trip. So good. Would you rather, Sean? I like how you modified it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. All right, man. All right. Love y'all. Bye. Adios. Hope you enjoyed.
Peace.